Last week we completed our look at the book of Nehemiah, and this week I would like to speak to you about how churches grow. Barb and I will then be taking a couple of weeks off for a bit of a holiday, and we covet your prayers while we're gone for more reasons than just a few, as you know. When I get back, I would like to speak on a text from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And then on October 18th, I would like to begin a series on marriage. We're going to look at marriage from a biblical perspective and God's intention for us in our marriages. But this is a series that in many respects applies to relationships. As well. You do not have to be married to benefit from this series. And that should take us up into the Christmas season in early December. And then in the new year, I have a few things that I want to do with you that I'll share more about as time approaches. So that's just a little heads up about where we're headed over the next 3 or 4 months. There were two pastors that were standing on a road holding a sign that reads, "The end is near." And just a few hundred yards away, the sound of a tremendous crash is heard. And one pastor turns to the other and says, "Do you think we should have just have written the bridges out?" No. I was in Edmonton recently, and I told my son that joke. And he said, "You know, Dad, that still isn't the best church joke that you've ever told me." And I said, "Well, refresh me." I says, what was?" And so he does. One day, a freighter sailed past an island in the South Pacific Ocean. The crew saw a man on the island frantically waving his arms in the air. And so they sent a boat ashore to check out what was going on. And the man said, thank you so much. I'm saved. I've been stranded alone on this island for 20 years. And they said, "You couldn't be here on this island, this big island, this big all by yourself." And he said, "I sure have. Come and I'll show you where I live." So they wandered down this little path and they came to a clearing where there were 3 huts. And the men said, "See, 3 huts. You don't live here alone." And he said, "Oh, no, yes, I do. Let me explain." He says, "The first hut, that's where I live. And then the second hut, that's where I go to church." And they said, "Well, what about that third hut?" And he said, "Oh, that." He says, "That's where I used to go to church." Well, that's my son's favorite. Go figure. But growth means change. And as awkward as it is, as unwelcome as it may be, as much as we may even rebel against it, growth, by virtue of definition, invariably means change. If we will grow, we will change. And if we do not change, we will not grow. Change is often unwelcome. We don't want to change. We, by nature, prefer the status quo. We would prefer the security of the familiar rather than the anxiety of an unknown future. But if we do not change, we will not mature. And that is a given. And it is true of our bodies, it is true of our spiritual lives, and it is true of the body of Christ itself. And so, Cremona Congregational Church, if you're going to grow, if we're going to grow and mature, we're going to have to experience change. Now, if you're normal, you will find these words discomforting. Quite frankly, I like Cremona Congregational Church the way it is for the most part. But lest we turn this into a justification for the status quo, let me point out to you what the alternatives are. Now, when we talk about churches, we're talking about spiritual things. And in the realm of spiritual things, you grow or you die. Mediocrity and stagnation always breeds decay and reversal. We have no choice but to grow as God's purposes intend. Our choice is forward or backward. The church is just like an airplane. Between an airplane and every other form of locomotion and transportation, there is one great contrast. The horse and the wagon, the automobile, the bicycle, locomotive, speedboat, and great battleship all come to a standstill without danger, and they can even reverse their engines or their power and go backward. But there is no reverse about the engine of an airplane. It cannot back up. It dare not stand still. If it loses momentum and forward dive, then it crashes. The only safety for the airplane is its forward and upward motion. And so it is with the church. But because change is uncomfortable, experience shows that some churches have chosen not to grow. Those churches reach some plateau, and by choice, they decide to stay there in their comfort zone. Other churches grow. They are vibrant centers of spiritual life and living. They prosper and become all that God wants them to be. So what's the difference? Why do some churches grow and some kind of just flatline or plateau? This morning I'd like to give you 10 factors that determine the difference between growing and plateauing churches. Now, suffice it to say that when we're talking about church growth, there's a certain ceiling that demographics naturally impose on us as a rural community. And growth doesn't always imply numbers either. But God wants the church to grow. So why do some churches grow and others do not? First, a growing church is absolutely clear about their purpose. They know who they are, and they know what they are all about. Their purpose is fixed, and their people are actively engaged in fulfilling that purpose. A plateaued church, however, has a blurred purpose, or a plurality of purpose. The people are not really clear on what they are to do or why. There is no unified understanding as to what their purpose or goal is, and hence they are plateaued or just plain stuck. Secondly, a growing church has a transformational vision. They have a vision that has so gripped the people that their lives have been changed by it. Their lifestyle has been altered by it where necessary. An excellent example of what transformational vision looks like comes from Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. They have a program there where single parents come to church, and while they are in church, the mechanics of the congregation do oil changes and maintenance on these single parents' cars in the parking lot. One day, some mechanics came forward and they said, "We twist wrenches. We can't sing, we can't play instruments or teach Sunday school, but we do know cars. So what can we do?" And hence, this program got its start. Now that's transformational vision. That's a sacrificial thing for a mechanic to do on a Sunday morning. Their whole perspective on the church is to grow into Christ's image and Christ's body. Vision is not just dreaming. Vision is what I can do with God's help here and now. It is looking beyond the commonplace. It's finding new things to do, and growth always follows where vision marks the way. You know, it was Oliver Wendell Holmes that said, "A mind stretched to a new idea never goes back to its original dimension." And on the heels of that, we can quote Ralph Waldo Emerson. "So beware of what you set your mind on, for that you will surely become. Vision will possess the people, and that will automatically be converted into action. A plateaued church, of course, has no transformational vision. Thirdly, a growing church has an incarnation of values. That simply means that they have a clear distinction as to what is important and what is not. People are always more important than programs. So there's a right relationship between people and program. The programs serve the people. And when they stop serving the people, out they go. Programs never dominate the people. One thing you never hear in a growing church is, well, we've always done it this way. Or, well, that's not the way we used to do it. Why don't you hear that? Because the people are willing to change according to the needs of the moment, because people are primarily important, not patterns or programs. Plateaued churches, on the other hand, they find their programs overtaking the people. People become lost in the cogs of the wheel. They don't ask the question, which programs are people-centered and which are program-centered? And these questions need to be consistently asked if values are to be incarnated into the church. And then fourthly, in a growing church, priorities change, but the values remain the same. People remain the focus while priorities shift. Today's priority in one church may be the setting up of chairs. Tomorrow, it may be staff or wheelchair access and needs such as that. Priorities change, but the values don't. Plateaued churches cannot keep those two things distinct or separate. They confuse values and priorities, and hence people are hurt by the omission of necessary change. And then fifthly, and I want you to listen to me carefully on this one, the growing church is a body of people who want the church to grow and are prepared to see that through to the price-paying degree. I'm going to say that again. The growing church is a body of people who want the church to grow and are prepared to see that through to the price-paying degree. They have counted the cost, and they will pay the price. They have an unalterable will as far as the church's growth is concerned. Now, plateaued churches, naturally, they talk about growth, but they won't pay the price. And then sixthly, growing churches have a combination of skill and will. Will determine what needs to be done, and skill determines how it is to be done. Now let me ask you, which one of these two things do we lack here in Cremona? The skill, the will, or do we have both? It takes both. One day a school teacher protested to his superintendent because he wasn't given a certain promotion. And after all, he said, I've had 25 years of experience. No, Joe, said the superintendent, that's where you are wrong. You've had 1 year's experience 25 times. You've heard that before, I'll bet. One may be willing, but one must be skilled. One may be skilled, but must also be willing as well. Plateaued churches have no balance between these two elements. And then, number seven, growing churches have the ability to keep fundamental insights from becoming fogged. They know their strengths, and they strategize with that. Now the question becomes, does God want his sheep looked for or found? Does he want fish fished for or caught? God wants his sheep found, and he wants fish caught, right? I need some help in this area. Therefore, what does he want from us? Does he want an effort Or does he want an effort that bears fruitful results? Obviously, God wants effective effort. Plateaued churches witness to people. Growing churches win people. Plateaued churches try harder. Growing churches try something else. Plateaued churches hope for converts. Growing churches are structured for maturity. Lambs are birthed and nurtured. And then eighth, growing churches sometimes blow it. They make mistakes. But they do most of the right things most of the time. Why? Because they have adequate intensity. People don't come and sleep. They don't saunter into church. They have a song in their heart, thanksgiving on their lips. They have energy and intensity, not lethargy and carelessness. And then a growing church has an extroversion that exceeds introversion. What did I say? Extroversion that exceeds introversion. The growing church is always headed out. Maintaining life within the church is a secondary concern. They are always outward focused or headed out. And so consequently, there are more entry points into the church than just the door. There are many ways that people can become integrated into the body. Friendliness, for example, is an entry point. Your home is an entry point. How willing we are to help needy people. That's an entry point as well. The plateaued church is birthed but bored. Their entry points are narrow and crusted. Just as cement hardens by doing nothing, the plateaued church has entry points cemented over and are hard to break through. They are exclusive and self-centered. They are introverted. And then tenth and finally, the growing church has a long-range vision. They see down the road and they make accommodating change, negotiating the road ahead. Some years ago, the president of the Porsche Motor Company was once asked, being a new president, how did he expect to improve on virtually a flawless product? And his answer to that question revealed why he was the president. And he responded with this. He said, any company that defines its purpose in terms of its product is done for. You meet the needs of people, not the product. It is short-sighted to push the product. Now, we have a flawless gospel, a message that cannot be improved upon. But we need to adopt changes that are adapted to the needs of the people we must reach. But unlike business, we are not pushing a product to satisfy a customer. We are obeying Christ and calling people to return to their created purpose. We are calling prodigals to return to their heavenly Father. If we are to grow, we must be rooted in God's purposes and truth, and then the changes won't be so uncomfortable. We root in the immovable. We change in the flexible. Growing churches just don't happen. They are a product of maturity and intention. It is not a surprise. Rooted churches are growing churches. Leslie Stokes, an English Baptist minister, he once told the following parable. Once upon a time, there was a tree. It was a lovely tree, shapely, strong, and stately. But appearances are not always to be trusted, and they are not in this case. For the tree knew inwardly that its massive strength was beginning to wane. And when the wind was strong, it had felt itself shaking ominously and heard suspicious creaks. So wisely it took itself in hand. With much effort, it grew another branch or two, and then looked stronger and safer than ever. But when the next gale blew, there was a terrific snapping of roots. But for the support of a friendly neighbor, it would have been flat on the ground. When the tree had recovered from the shock, it looked at its neighbor curiously. "Tell me," it asked, "how is it that you've not only stood your ground, but are even able to help me too?" "Oh," replied the neighbor, "that's easy. When you were busy growing branches, I was busy strengthening my roots." We all want to see Christ receive the full reward of his suffering, don't we? We want to see his church grow. And so the challenge to us, of course, is to grow deep in him and to mature so that his work will be enlarged among us. And we say that for Jesus' sake. Amen? Amen. May God bless you this morning.